McNary 2012 F-Palm.
Missing a bolt.
We're missing more than that. We're missing a pin.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I assume you took it out to fix it.
Yeah. Typical, though, you know, back in the day, you would think they would prioritize gate 9. But at the time, though, it wasn't gate 9. It wasn't part of it.
It was outside.
Wire ropes. It was outside. So.
It was. The wire ropes were good in it.
Yeah.
But we knew this problem was there.
They greased the hell out
of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't really understand what I'm seeing here, though, other than the fact there's a hole where there shouldn't be.
Reactive.
All right, let's get going. Everybody grab a seat. There's spots. So that clock is incorrect, right?
Yep, it's 10:15.
How are you doing today?
So is that phone working? Uncertain. We had somebody on before, but in talking, I'm not hearing anybody.
I think maybe the best bet here would be, hey, John, can you do me a favor? Can you get an update from House?
Until I can get a better one.
We don't have a phone to call in. So
where's the plug-in?
Just over there.
Is that it?
A phone on the wall. An update on housing for the ice and trash.
We just got one.
Okay. Hello?
They're putting it right back in coffee.
I think they must have decided to bail.
Are you going to be able to report out on the bottom of the stuff? That's the question. Okay, do you have copies of the agenda? Or?
We had somebody on the BlackBerry before, but they're not responding, so we're not sure if they're on mute.
I'm sure we'll be texting one of us soon saying I can't get in, but let's get started. I appreciate
it. Can I call Laura's on the phone and get on that number?
Yeah.
And folks should be able to that are setting this up in the room.
I think the only one is on the wall.
There's not one over there.
Anybody have an agenda? Print your own agenda, because if not, you're going to have to share with your neighbor. So I'd like to start off with introductions, go around the room, and then we'll get right into the reviewing agenda in the meeting minutes, and then hopefully get through this in a fairly timely fashion so we can get out on the project. Is there a time constraint with that?
I don't think so. We just expecting when we were done with the meeting, and so everybody just has kind of visitor passes, and so you have to stay as a group. Nobody can just like take off
Anne's
on their own.
Got her BlackBerry set up.
So.
Well, so what was the plan?
See if that. I don't know. He'll hear it.
Yeah,
anyway.
Take a look at the new facility, and I think Gary and Ryan may give us an update. Right now, we're in secondary. So, I think there was a request that Ryan mentioned to take it to primary, so you could see how that hydraulic jump looked as well. Gary, had you and Ryan talked about changing from secondary to primary while folks were here, so they could see the difference in the hydraulic jump?
That and the process.
That'll take probably an hour at least to change the operation and view it, let it set up. So first go out, take a look at the secondary, where it's coming in, observe the existing hydraulic jump, and then flip to primary, and then people can view that. So I think as part of in here, we may have, I asked Ryan to come to the meeting. I think he's here. Around. Yes, he's there.
Oh, there he is.
So we can have a little bit of a discussion before we go out there, too, so people just are a little prepped for that.
Okay. All right, so it'll probably be at least a two-hour type of tour.
I would guess 1 to 2 hours, yeah.
All right, well, for introductions, I'll start off. I'm Bernard Flatt with the Operations Division, Portland District. I am the chair today.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Kevin Moynihan. I'm the Technical Operations Chief for the Corps of Engineers in Portland. My official duty is on the Regulatory Branch Chief, but I've been asked to fill in for Steve Perkins while Steve is gone on deployment. I worked with Tammy with Byrne. I also served at John Day as the Operations Project Manager last year, working with Nero out there. And I just want to tell you it's a pleasure to be here today. Appreciate all the work that you do, both from the OPN side and the practical way you approach issues. And I will probably over the 6 months of my assignment be coming to most, if not all, of the FPOM meetings. So I appreciate it.
David Wills, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Charlie Conner, NOAA Fisheries.
Kim Peterson, Bonneville Power.
You guys can do that back row before we go to Steve.
Sean Rapp, Small Monitoring in Lower Grant.
West Lake, Small Monitoring.
Rosanna Menzig, Small Monitoring near
Ryan Lowry, Hydraulics, Small Monitoring District.
Hello, Steve Richards, a supervised all fish catchers from West Park Fish and Wildlife.
Ed Meyer, Fish Pass Engineer, National Fish Service.
Hi, Larry Swenson, NOAA Fisheries Engineer Tech, Portland.
Doug Bowes, Core RCC.
Mio Zindo, John Day, Davenport.
Greg Moody, Wallet District Operations Division.
Dave Benner, Fish Patent Center.
Gary Fredericks, NOAA Fisheries.
Ann Setter, Walla District's Fish Operations.
Gary Mackey, Burns Assistant. That is not your official title.
I keep using that one too much.
Lisa Reich, Corps Northwestern Division Reservoir Control.
John Rarisich, Portland District Corps.
Bob Cordy, Corps for the Dalles.
Louis Burgeon, Fish Quality, Mr. Baltimore.
Scott Button with BPN.
Okay, and then Tom, is Tom trying to call in?
Is anybody on the phone? Anybody on the phone?
And Gary, did you talk to Tom? Is he going to try to call?
He's going to try. Yeah, he's sitting in his car right now.
Okay. So as Tom? Far as the SWG people, are they coming in soon, or are they going to meet us here in an hour or so? Bill Hedlund and his group?
Larry is his keeper, not me.
All right, well, apparently they're going to join the tour sometime.
I'm not in Corvallis.
All right, well, I guess if he shows up, they'll show up and eat some bagels.
The SCT group.
Yeah. SCT, whatever.
SCT is, yeah. That.
So, of course, there's lots of food over there to help yourself to, and bathroom is the porta potty.
Actually, you can go through the doors. If you go back and you follow the walkway, you can go into the building in the powerhouse there on the far end, and there's flush toilets.
There's flush
toilets? No, out the door to the right, and there's handrails on both sides, and you just follow them to the building.
So as far as looking at the agenda, is there any add-ons? I know that the ice and trash sluice way operation, we could probably report out real quickly on that. I haven't heard anything from the small monitoring facility. Looks like Dave just took off to probably take that call. No, there he is over there. And maybe the fish counting contract progress, just so people know where we're at.
Okay.
And what else you got, Greg?
Lower Monumental, the debris still today.
Okay, and did you have anything with the outfall that you want to talk about?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
The pipe and ropes and stuff like that, is that an update that people aren't aware of that you might want to give them?
We can talk about it, right?
I think it might be worthwhile to at least make people aware of what the mod that you have going.
What is that, Lomo?
Lomo. So some of the folks were out yesterday, might as well let the folks that weren't out there yesterday know what they have as an additional mod right now in terms of predator control.
Potentially.
Okay, potential mod. Oh, you're not?
Anything else, Gary, you got there?
No, no.
Dave, you got anything to add to the agenda? Good? Okay, anybody have any issues with March's FPOM minutes? Changes? If not, I'd like to approve those. Going once, twice, consider them approved.
One thing I would like to add, just to add it to the agenda, but I do have the fish passage plans here for 2012, so for Walla Walla District, as well as NOAA and Fish and Wildlife and whatnot, so afterwards we'll do a little distribution party outside. So.
Great.
And there's bird's nests and butters and Dutch.
Yeah, and thanks. Thank you to those of you from Vern and Tammy for all the goodies as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, even please.
Appreciate that. We'll be able to go right through lunch. No stopping.
Yeah, well, basically your lunch and your breakfast.
Good. That's good.
So Okay, well, let's get right into action items. As far as fishway maintenance, at our last meeting, Gary, you asked us to look at what was being deferred, what was not being funded. I don't have a list prepared, but I do have project bios, so I probably can speak to it. Maybe, Bob, you want to go ahead with the Dalles? Do you have anything? Or?
Did you want to start Bonneville first?
Well, Bonneville is not, I'm going up the river. Bonneville is absent right now.
Okay. For the Dalles, some of the things that we have in the hopper right now is for the East Fish Ladder, the exit weirs, the upper part of the East Fish Ladder, they're in rough shape and we're looking to rehab those. We have a small projects team in this group looking at just scoping that out, what it would take to do it, and then from there it's just a matter of funding to actually do it. And it'll probably be more of a replacement than a rehab, because it turns out that the rehab is usually more costly than just a full replacement. Which, so those weirs are getting tired. There's six of them.
All of them? So it's all the weirs, the drop-in, drop-outs, as well as the four,
through
the two telescopic as well?
What's that?
The telescopic.
Yep. We'd include all of them in the, okay, the package.
Everything
as long as we're looking at a couple, we'll just look at them all. They're all the same vintage.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So, and then the guides on those too, we did some work last year on them, but it's more of just a band-aid. It's something that needs to be remedied better, because the guides are worn straight through to the concrete. So that's one of the big ones that's on the list. What else do we have? One that we haven't been able to do anything on is collection channel diffusers. Actually, all the diffusers, just to figure out, because the collection channel diffusers are all closed right now, and they'll probably be permanently closed. I mean, we have no reason to open them right now since we don't have anything coming into the collection channel, no openings into the collection channel. So we need to figure out what to do with them. Permanent closure.
Because the floating orifices are closed.
Yeah, because there's no floating orifices there. It hasn't been for better than 10 years. So.
It's been that long.
Yeah.
Easy to forget about those valves.
We haven't had a chance to even start the process on that, scope that out. What else do we have? Fish lock, but that's CRFM for a backup system for the East Fishway.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to understand that's supposed to happen soon. To get the fish lock into service, so get some water. Spillway, that's already on the agenda. It's not a fish money thing, but it's joint dollars, which we never seem to have. But that's, I guess we'll talk about that a little later. And then the ice trash sluiceway, that needs some work as well. That's a power funding thing. That also is not official funding. And we're looking at doing something with all those gates along there. There's 60-plus gates along the base of the powerhouse. A lot of them are leakers, and panels are coming off, and they just haven't had any attention for a long time. Oh, and then the last item, too, was the fishway grading. And that's actually a good news story. So we got all the grading we need for the East Fishway in stock, and we have about approximately 40% left to install, and they made really good progress this last winter. So we're guessing one, maybe two more winters while that happened. That's about it.
I'm just going to check. So I'm going to hang up. Can you check and see who's on the phone? There's three people.
Has left the conference.
Somebody just left. Was that you?
Yeah.
Who's on the line?
Ben.
Tom
Lawrence.
Tom.
Can you hear it?
Can you guys hear anything? Were you able to hear Bob, Cordy, talk about the Dalles a minute ago?
It's really chopped up.
Okay, so maybe what we'll do is we'll try to, as somebody's talking, pass or get this BlackBerry a little closer to him.
Right. Well, he's going to have Ben give the maintenance update.
Okay, so are we ready for that?
Yeah.
Ben, do you want to give the maintenance update? So we'll try to hear you.
Yeah, it's fine.
No, it's
Okay, go ahead again.
Are you referencing the sluiceway situation?
No.
No, the fishway maintenance that hasn't been funded that needs to be funded. Or that needs to be done.
So we're on action items, the 2.1 on the agenda, and Bob Cordy just gave kind of Dal's fishway maintenance items that are outstanding, and so now we were moving to you at Bonneville.
You know, I, in the interest of time, I don't know if we need to go through the list here as much as just compile it and get it out to folks, and we can study it and look at it. I know there's some issues at Bonneville that I don't know are on there or not that we can talk about later once we see the list.
Okay, let's do that next week and have it for the next
episode. Yeah, we can have it out.
So we'll skip John Day and just go into the wall-to-wall action items. Skip the maintenance, and then there's the LGS bill.
Yeah.
Which, well, a coordination form or a change form is going to be available at the bubble.
No.
Not at this time. We don't have a coordination form available at this time.
So we took a look at the SDP run on Tuesday. We were on a fish call with Scott on Monday afternoon, kind of looking at flows to see how far they were going to go to hang around 90 to see how soon we would need to address this, because I was pretty unfamiliar with this, but apparently last year at FPOM there was some discussion where the Corps did a run of where the best place to make the change from the high to the low crest was, and then BPA did a run, and then you compromised at 85 KCFS, and so our run came in at 8, suggesting 80, and Bonneville was suggesting 90. So Scott at the last meeting kicked it out for a reevaluation on Monday. Kind of got back on our radar. Unfortunately, we had not gathered much information since the last meeting. Asked him, could we, you know, sort of, does it look like we're going to need this before the next FPOM meeting? He suggested we might, but we were unable to get a hold of Sean Milligan, who did the run last year. So we weren't really able to put together any information in the last 2 or 3 days to assist. So I guess we don't have any further information that suggests that we have a different point than what we suggested last year. So,
is this something driven by the flows, Scott, that we're seeing right now, or
well, is this a separate issue? No, this is, last year we at 90 was our problem. Jason and Tim Dexter's at 90. You guys wanted 80, we compromised at 85. So we look at it, okay. If we had delays, and I recall we had some delays, so I wanted to bring it back up and see if we wanted to change it.
Well, you know, last year the power plant was out for a while.
Well, I wouldn't look at it during those days.
Yeah, so we can't look at those days. But we look at it days, you know. Well, the only time I really think we may have to start having a problem would be in the later part of May and into June. And so maybe right at that time we start looking to see what's going on. But projections on the STP show that water's going to be pretty high, up to 92. Looks like it's lowest it's going to be, you know, closest it's going to be to 90 is on the 30th of April. And so you may have a little bit of time to look at that right there.
Probably like 90
a day. It's 90 now.
It was 90 at Lomo yesterday, but I, you know, I don't know that it's.
But, but it's projected to go up.
Go back up, right.
It's going to be going back up. Right?
Beyond 90, yeah.
I mean, we're melting, even the small streams are starting to go up right now. So.
Yeah.
Right, I think it's super urgent, but we don't have, you know, 2 months to think about it.
Yeah, we don't.
If we want to do something.
We don't. So, yeah, we'll look at it pretty quickly, Scott.
So maybe what we're asking as well, do the agencies, so I had my story wrong, but do they have new information that they would bring to the discussion to allow us to have a different compromise than what we had last year as well? I guess that might be a kickoff
as well.
Yeah,
what's new? I mean, that's why I asked.
We're willing to listen, but I don't have any.
What change?
Any reason for a change.
Okay. And so I think the plan, I mean, we can see if we can gather any more information and bring it to the next meeting. But otherwise, you know, Greg, you're planning on sort of watching adult passage as well as we're going through the season. And so if something comes up where we're thinking we need to do something, then it will just be a short-term communication, you know, out to people. We're observing this, and we'll have to decide what to do. So I think that probably it for that one.
If you start seeing anything, you know, goose fish count wise, too. Should be way back.
All right. Well, let's then move into our updates. Walla Walla, you can go first. Lower Granite. Unit 1 status.
Unit 1 status. We all know that Lower Granite's unit number 1 has got fixed blades now at this time. They're fixed at a different angle than they were measured at. The project's going to go ahead and keep it operational until after spring spill ends, let's say sometime in June, maybe July, and then they'll start looking at repairing the blades. So that's basically the update on it.
Unit 4
is going out for habitation repair at this time.
So it's out?
Yeah, it's out.
What's the plan to repair it?
Repairing the habitation?
Mm-hmm.
It's scheduled until about August. There's no, you know, no other year, so you know, this way we won't have two, potentially three units out of service at this time of year with high flow projected at this time of year.
So yeah, I mean, did we ever brief the broad group beyond NIMS on the fact that there was the contract in place and the potential money that was already on the table for Unit 4 that you couldn't back away from when we got some of the responses?
Yeah.
I know you were one that had written responses, Dave. Not sure if you got that feedback or not.
Yeah.
Okay. Just asking. Okay. Yeah.
I still have a frown.
It is what it is. Right.
Yeah,
okay. Right. Just want to make sure that at least we've provided whatever information we use when the decision was made.
I can take a picture of you.
Keep your hands in your pockets. Okay, next one maybe.
Lomo outfall.
Outfall Lomo.
Okay. Doug, can you log in for us?
Sure.
So you want to cover that one, Greg, or you want me to talk about Lomo Outfall?
You were out there yesterday. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay. So several people, BPA, NOAA Fisheries primarily, participated in a site visit yesterday to Lomo Outfall and view the status of it. I don't think we had any new concerns. What we viewed largely was a couple places where there's still some mods, just construction mods that are going to take place. And I don't know, Ryan, if you maybe from a technical standpoint want to walk through those mods. We started out looking at the one raceway, and Bill might want to, since he's here, describe that we talked about at an earlier Fitter Week meeting where he came in and described what he wanted to do on an experimental basis in one of the raceways from a screen standpoint. He has that in place right now. Maybe you want to tell him the raceway, you want to tell him about your video surveillance.
It's raceway number 2 where we've replaced our normal mesh screens with slotted perf plate with slots large enough that juvenile lamprey can swim through them, as well as fry for that matter. We've installed them. They're in plastic guides, and they're protected electrically so that they don't degrade in water like the frames of the old screen. To monitor it for the year to see if the lamprey are moving through it well, we've mounted a camera, and we've set it up so that we can record.
So I think we asked you to maybe quarterly, as we go through, kind of give us updates on what you saw.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that he mentioned that he didn't really accentuate that people might be interested in is the guide slots, that he has plastic guide slots in there. And so before, with the previous, there was room for lamprey to kind of get in there. Maybe you want to expound on that now a little bit?
Yeah, lamprey would stack up between the guides and the frame of the screen. And every time you would raise the screen to offload a raceway, you'd kill 50, 60 juvenile lamprey. So to get around that, this is one source of mortality.
and reminding people the reason for this was that they found after putting in the last tail screens that when they were clearing debris off that, which was largely with a rake, that they were thinking that they were causing more mortality of any juvenile lamprey. So this was a solution, a possible solution that's being investigated to that.
Questions?
Could you remind me again what the space is on that screen?
The spacing? Yeah. I could send it to you, but I don't want off the top of my head. Yeah.
It's a slot.
Or slot, whatever. Yeah.
It's like 316 for a quarter.
Right. Dave, have pictures of it if you want to see them. Okay. Send them to you.
Perfect. So.
It shouldn't be everybody's participants.
No, but everybody's participants, so.
You just tell them that we're calling
in. It'll just be another voice.
Also through AT&T's teleconference service. Please enter your access code, followed by the pound sign.
So just for those of you on the phone, we have another speaker phone that hopefully will make it easier for you to hear that's being added.
Join the conference. As the host, press star. Otherwise, press pound.
Okay. Well, I can hang up the current system once we get that online.
There are four participants on the call, including you. You are joining your conference as a participant. For a menu of available commands, press star pound.
I can hear you, Ann.
Have joined the conference.
Okay, so the BlackBerry is going off. We're going to the speakerphone.
It's pretty effective, man. You can just belt out all kinds of commands there.
Could hear myself really well.
Can you hear us?
Okay, so I guess if we keep moving, the next one is the Ice Harbor Dolphins. And this isn't really... Oh, okay.
Yeah, that new gate, that new, to get the lamprey out of the slots, get them downstream, we put in a new, maybe you can describe that better.
Well, even Bill, since we have Bill here, why don't you describe? So we have a new piping. So where we started yesterday after we looked at the screens, we have that.
It's coming off the wastewater side of the weirs for the raceways. Okay. Whereas before, all of the water went straight down to downstream of the barge dock, where it was subject to the big tank at Lomos and Cosswoodsville. Okay. Now that has been routed out of that channel over into the primary bypass line, so it is discharged way downstream of the runoff location.
Okay, and then did you have another question?
Well, and also, I and all of us that were there liked the direction of the outfall water. It looked real good. It looked like it was going right downstream. You know, that was a concern after the modeling a year ago.
Yeah, good point. And that was actually something I asked Bill if he wanted to, so the potential mod to that he might describe. So Ryan said it's not a sure thing for the mod, but I think Bill at the project has requested it be a mod to the what we saw yesterday.
And of course, I'll preface this with I don't think we can do it this year because it's outside the in-water work window. And with spill and wave action right now, it wouldn't be safe to do the installation by boat. Okay? But the idea is on the downstream side of the pipe, the discharge pipe, okay, you would hang a 4-inch diameter metal pipe, and every 4 inches there would be a hole drilled, and you would have sections of chain hanging out of that that are like 4 feet long, and then attached to the end of each chain is a 2-inch diameter rope. So these ropes dangle, okay, out on the downstream side of where the discharge hits the water, so that the pelicans would have to fight to get down through this system of ropes hanging in the water to be able to forage. And I don't think they can do it. Interesting.
Yeah, so it's like just a, you know, an additional 10 to 20 or 30 seconds of safety, if you will, possibly before predators have the chance, recovery time. after you've left the outfall.
Pelican
hanging device. Now, let's not say that with Dave in the room.
Wait and see if you need it.
Yeah.
And it's been used before, but they're kind of subject to when you get high water levels, okay, they tend to break, okay, and then dangle downstream.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when that happens, they haven't been replaced.
So recall, we have a performance standard test going on at Lomo and Little Goose this year that you guys have probably heard about from the SRWG group. So the bypass outfall will have estimates of survival through that passage route this year.
And all of this extra hazing instruments at the end of the bypass pipe is because our Pelican problem at Lomo in the last 8 years has gone from about zero to last year probably a continuous 70 feeding there. I counted 170 pelicans between the downstream face of the dam and Burr Canyon, which is 3 miles downstream. And that was pretty consistent last year throughout the peak of the outmigration. And Washington State has told us they would not issue another hazing permit for white pelicans. So,
oh, is that right?
This is irresponsible.
They said that they won't issue you a hazing permit, even though the numbers are jumping up.
Yeah. They did it for 2 years, but they're state protected state.
They are,
and they
for
told
now.
Ken Fogle last year that that would be the last year that they would issue that permit.
That doesn't make sense.
We'll have to talk more about that.
Yeah.
Do you recall, Bill, the dimensions of that screen on the raceways, opening sizes?
I don't. Just like I told him, I'd have to pick it back out of my records.
Okay.
Yeah, got to remember all
that
the planning for that.
And it's from previous.
And he went through quite a detailed description at a Fitterwig meeting back in February or sometime.
But I'm in my mid-50s, and that was in February. And
that's young.
Yeah, so we can get a handout on the specifics out to people with that request.
Turn on that, and maybe the engineers can elaborate. It's we're talking about that being lamprey getting through and monitoring, but fry can also get through, and I think everyone's accepted that's fine. But what about sub-yearlings? It's getting close to the size that sub-yearlings could possibly get through there, some of the smaller ones. I don't know if we're intending that's a sub-yearling passage through there.
If that's the case, we will see it.
Okay.
Sure.
That's the monitoring.
That's where those smaller sized critters are coming in. So,
I mean, based on what you saw yesterday, wouldn't you say that it has to be almost something smaller than swim up fry that's only been swum up for a couple weeks before it's going to get through there?
I think 70 million fish can get through that.
Wow. That's big. Okay, that's interesting.
Remember, we got the camera mounted there, so those things would be obvious if they happen.
I'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah,
we did design the guides so that the guides can be removed quickly, so we can do that in season.
Okay.
With just a short little.
So, if you were to start seeing them moving through, could we put a measurement device? So if in the video you started noting that we were seeing some salmonids moving through, could we put some sort of a measurement device that we would perspective-wise as to where we're seeing it, if we see it like passing right at the screen size, some sort of little...
I believe we could use the slots.
Just alone.
To gauge it, yeah.
All right, all right. So just some sort of index to come back to them with in terms of the size of the fish, okay?
Any other discussion on that? That's what I'm working on.
Bill's got another.
Well, just before we get off of the outfall, the flow, the downstream flow, the direction at the outfall looked real good yesterday. That was one of my concerns with the modeling last year. Is it 90?
Now, at 90.
Ryan's going to have some boats and do some velocity measurements and vectors out in the river in the next month or so. And we're just waiting for the. Basically the same thing you guys worked on is just to get 95. We're trying to wave it up on the shot before we go on.
So why don't you speak a little louder, Ryan, and suggest what the data points you expect to collect data at. Is it between 60 and 90 KCFS that you'll go out every 10, or what's your frequency? And
discharge range that we're interested in before we collect data between 55 in the river and 105 in the river. Our intent is to go out discharges of 60, 70, 80, and 90. But we'll take what we get, coordinate with our CC, and at the 9-hour data collection per full group discharge. We'll collect 7 transects in the river and also 3 station endpoints near the outfall during that time. And we're also attempting to record time-lapse video of tail race during the entire season. It's kind of we're having a volunteer go out and hit the record button. We get 4 days worth of time-lapse per time every time we hit the record. But we don't know what we're going to actually get out of that. So
they have a die release tank set up so that when you hit the record button, the recorded die goes out. And
hell yeah.
Oh, good.
Okay. Anyway, so that's what our goal is this year, to kind of record those.
So I guess the other interesting thing, maybe what you're getting to, Bill, is that we were at 90 KCFS yesterday, and that's where in the model you had started to see some eddying, and we didn't see any evidence of that at all out at the prototype.
No, right. Well, even in the model, it was only an every 5 or 10 minute period that it would get the outfall direction.
Oh, would slow up?
Vector would change and go towards shore, so... and Ryan tells me the real world that might happen then in, what's an hour maybe?
Yeah, that time frame was the same. We didn't see that.
Yeah, but we didn't see it the whole time we were walking along the shore yesterday, which certainly was probably an hour. So what all this data collection is going to really help us is to go back and see how the difference between the model and the prototype, and this will help us out a lot. Figuring out how accurate the model is, what's going on, but it was good to see that it looked real good yesterday at 90. So
when do you plan to report back out on your data, Ryan? I assume it'll be this fall at the earliest, or?
Correct.
Okay.
Anything else on that, Phil? Thanks. Let's move on to the dolphins.
Ice Harbor Dolphins. Okay, so this came onto the agenda, I think, largely because Bill Hevlin got some information forwarded to him by someone in our environmental compliance group, and so we just put it on the agenda just for information. So at Ice Harbor, there were 6 hard dolphins, which are places that were upstream of the project for boats to tie off. And it was noted that these were becoming hazardous. And so there was divers out there. And, there's only 4 of the 6 that are considered safe. They had divers out. Dolphin 4 and 5 were considered hazardous. They were leaning at an angle. There's a need for some structural reinforcement before they can be used. And so the issue that was forwarded to Bill was, at some point in time, there's going to be a need for the Corps to get divers to go back out there, because when the divers were there in March, they left one support that, as the water went down with fluctuations, was noted as a boating hazard for the barges. And so we have basically one piling that sticks up as the forebay fluctuates a little bit. And so, we have that noted for navigation, and we do not know what our path forward is, because it's really the responsibility of the dive group to have gone in there and removed all the pilings, and they missed this one. So it's really under that contract for them to come back on their own dime and fix this, and so that's how we're pursuing it. And I think the heads up that came to Bill was just that EC, environmental compliance folks, work with your Ellensburg office. They forwarded that to you, and it's more just down the line somewhere we may have a need to let divers go in there and remove this piling. We tried to do the work beforehand. It was done in March. The contractor has made an error and missed one, and so we may have to work with you on that in terms of coordination.
I just
just to understand, this is upstream of the project. Right?
Yes.
So are we operating the pump right now? How low does it have to go to be happy?
I believe that it's a hazard at all times now. So we have it, you know, so that there's no, so I think the Ice Harbor floor bay only fluctuates about 1 to 3 feet.
Yeah, it's
so there's not a whole lot of fluctuation there. So right now it's a hazard all the time
so
for navigation.
All the time.
Yes.
All right.
So I think that's it for Ice Harbor, unless anybody else has questions. It's kind of a minimal update. You know, it's a little out of our lane, but it's just an update. So yeah, we probably want to have some discussion. That's what hopefully a lot of you are here to see. Ryan, I was hoping maybe Ryan would just give us a brief.
Why don't we just do that before the tour?
All right.
That makes sense.
That's all right. If everyone wants to do that.
The whole tour and
then what we're going to see or right. What we anticipate seeing and things like that. Okay, great idea. So move to the next one.
Trash racking.
Okay, so we finally have a trash rake that works, and we're able to rake trash again at McNary. When they did, Carl, maybe you want to give the update on when you did rake trash.
Yeah, we started about 2 weeks ago now, I guess. We're not finding much of anything. We've did all the units, very little there so far, so we're really lucky. We really dodged a bullet this year, because if this had happened last year, we would have had a real disaster on our hands, because we had a lot of trash moving down the river in late January and February of last year. So we just got really, really lucky.
And then the hope is long term. We have so he's fixed kind of on a temporary basis
that's
at this
what I'm
point.
Worried about.
And long term, the hope is that we will have an entirely new structure that works better with our crane up there. And we're anticipated to have that sometime around the end of the year, hopefully. But, you know, there's some contracting involved and some rebuild, and so I don't think anything's a sure thing, but that is the current target date.
What's the fix? Is it a new?
It's a whole new build.
System?
It's a whole new build to be of the capability of what is needed, and so we were overstressing what we had in place before, so we have some limitations on what we've rebuilt.
Well, they cut about 3,000 pounds out of that raking bucket. Basically, the old reinforcement beams in the back were no longer needed because they've got steel plate across there now. Originally, it was just mesh. That's why they needed the heavy reinforcement with the steel beams. They didn't need it, so they cut down about 3,000 pounds right there or more of that bucket. And we rebuilt the carriage in our own offices here, in our own facilities here, and so it should be in pretty good shape. It's probably the best shape it's been in years, frankly.
It's still, though, kind of, underrated for some of the loads that they try to use it.
Yeah, well, we've reduced the problem, but it could still happen. Yeah, we could use a more powerful
one. Make sure we don't have to dodge the bullet again.
Right.
So, yeah, you know,
but it's in better shape than it's been probably. How many years have they been doing this? You know, it's probably the strongest.
But we were told, I guess, by Dave Coleman, who's the OPM, that the long-term fix was necessary to be at the same level and timing of effort of what we've had in the past, and that this year it would take us longer due to not wanting to overstress what they had just built so that we could maintain functionality, guaranteed functionality through the season, so that we were looking at potentially at least twice as much effort in order to keep this thing functional.
So the new one would be ready by next year,
The plan. We were told that it's but you know how contracts go with the core and design builds. But yes, that is currently what's on the books.
So it's on the books for a new one next year sometime. The existing one's in pretty good shape, should last through that period.
So part of the reason that it took so long, maybe you want to go into this, Carl, to get it back functional was that they were going through, you know, it took them a while to understand what all was a problem.
Right. And we basically did a complete rebuild of the carriage. And instead of taking it apart, we actually used the Advanced American Construction Barge Crane to put it back in one whole piece. So it didn't take us too long to, once we got it up on the thing, to hook it back up again, just hook up the electrical and whatnot, mechanical, and we were all ready to go. But you know, bear in mind that we had probably been overstressing that thing and didn't realize it for, I don't know, 20 years, however long they've been using that thing up there. And now we're not, you know, so...
That's good.
Yeah, so we're probably in better shape than we've been in 20 years.
Yeah, that's good.
Not perfect, but a lot better than it was.
Good.
So,
All right, well, let's go into Portland's updates. Speaking of trash rakes, the Bonneville Fish Unit trash rake update. Is that something you got?
Yes, so a new PM and TL has been added to the team, as well as biologist. I'll be the biologist. So we are looking to improve the raking system at Powerhouse 2.
Who's the PM?
Project manager, technical.
Who is it?
Gail Saldana.
Okay.
And Ben Villon. He's a technical lead.
Nice.
And then I'll be the biologist. So the new rigging system will function better. What we have currently does not work sufficiently. And we will also be dredging in front of the fish units, looking to reopen the lower rack that's been blocked off. And the spacing will be lamprey friendly. We're looking at 5/8 inch gaps, so we can, you know, in the future support 3/4 inch grading in the ladder. And plans and specs are expected in the FY12 or 13. Excuse me.
Is the dredging going to be earlier than that?
I don't know. We have yet to. I have yet to meet with the team, but that is going to happen soon.
Which dredging?
In front of the trash.
Oh, geez. I hope. Like ASAP. I hope.
Yeah, that's the number one priority. Yeah. To get that thing dredged out.
That this dredging winter. Is a little bit separate from the fish unit trash rack up.
Yeah, that's yeah. It should be. That's a maintenance issue. But it should be. I hope that's scheduled for as soon as this we get an in-water work period this fall. Right.
Hopefully. Is Ben still on the phone?
Yeah.
He may be able to comment on that.
He knows. Hey, Ben, can you comment on the dredging in front of the fish units?
Well, we're able to do it this fall when fish units come down for the lamprey work in the North Shore there.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
So that is a high priority. I can't change the volume on this.
Yeah, that's fine. It's just, I know we can't do it. It's
still on there?
Too late now.
Okay. It sounds like crap.
Yeah. So on this, on the trash rake, this is, you're planning plans and specs sometime when and 12, any idea?
FY13.
Yeah, 13, but that's a long, I mean, that's.
A DVR is expected in FY12.
You want to get this done before Tom Lors retires. Tom, are you on the phone? He's gone.
I'll be meeting with the team soon.
Next Fitter Week meeting, maybe we just get an update on what the, maybe or something like that. This is not Fitter Week, though. Isn't it? Is this CRFM funded or is this O&M funded?
That's a good question. I don't know.
As the last one, I think.
It
was CRFM, and I think it's a follow on. So, following on. Okay. A little more information on when would be good. Schedule.
Thanks, John. Bonneville Corner Collector, Fabian Wires, can you give the update? Anybody in the room have the update so we don't have to listen to the speakerphone rattling?
They're not in stock. And the memo of coordination went out, but the hazers will watch for it and go there if needed if we see lots of bird activity. They are expected to be installed after Natalie's lamprey modifications to the Washington Shore are complete. So next year.
Next year. So we'll run this year and see what we see.
See when will the chains be ordered?
That you'll have to listen to the board for.
That's a question of Ben.
Yeah.
It would be nice to order them now just in case we have to put them in sooner. The change is what's missing to hold the wires up.
So
who is
the contractor? I don't know. Which is why these are not.
Makes sense if you have lots of money, but since O&M doesn't have a lot of money, I don't know if this is
going to
be
a password. If it isn't a problem, then you'd have to go through the process and get the change ordered.
And we've had as many.
To change someday anyway.
Most seasons, most of those wires are down. So.
So you think we may never install them?
I haven't seen a gull at that outfall in a long time.
Okay.
Now I know John's seen them there, so they do show up.
You know, usually the password is up. Wires, you take it down during high spring flows.
Mm-hmm.
It's a four-digit thing. We're into the season where we don't have them, but I have seen
right.
This is significant, not too many. But
I see a few, but yeah.
You know, they perch on the corner collector and they figured it out. With that's with up to five wires missing.
Right.
You know, with the whole array down.
I don't know. How many wires are in that array? I mean, that's last year I think there were six or...
About ten.
Ten,
yeah. There was nine functioning ones.
More than half were down last year for much of the season. And
with the high flows last year,
that's
our whole problem was a lot
really
less than was normal.
Yeah, that's true, too.
So we can look in what the lead time is for that, and if we need to buy them now, if it's longer than we think, then we'll get them.
Well, Ben, when will the project have the chains? He figured that if we had another week, the project could have gotten the chains on and we could have gotten the lines installed, but we'd be spilling, and so we didn't pursue that. So I don't think it takes a long time to get the chains. It's just a matter of getting them on site and having them ready.
Yeah, the chains are nothing special. I'm not sure we would have had a lot to do it, but they're no big deal. It's just a matter of how the connection points were and how they were connected to the portal line and all that. Wasn't available to us quick enough with a tight time frame with, doing the spill for the rock removal and that kind of thing.
So the chains, Ben, the chains are just something that are easy to buy, pick up, and
yeah, exactly.
It's just
a
1-inch link or
chain. That's no big deal.
Yeah. Okay.
It sounds like knowing how to put them in the links is the important part. We need to have a.
I don't think you're going to be out there putting them up during the season anyway.
The performance testing, I just wanted to have a backup. But it sounds like it's a pretty quick turnaround if we need them. So it brings the other question, though. What does it take to not need, decide we just don't need them? Getting rid of that as a maintenance side.
Yeah. Right. And that would be very few nulls, which is what I've seen every time I go out there.
Okay. So
but John's seen different, so I'm...
How do we determine
you're there, I'm not.
I mean, do we have any somewhat consistent data to say what is out there or not, not just anecdotal information?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of our no, let's not do that.
Okay. I get it.
The idea is to standardize the avian predation observations up and down the system, and that would be a standardized location to be looking at by the project biologists on a regular basis, so we should get feedback on that through the season. If we see a problem, that ought to be systematic and quantitative, not just qualitative. Yep.
So, out of ignorance, where are these chains hanging from the support lines? Kind of lost.
The anchor point is on Cascade Island, kind of near the end of the corner collector.
Okay.
And there's a line that runs from Bradford to Washington Shore across the Dale Race, and the lines connect from that wire to the anchor point.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
They cover the outfall.
They cover the outfall.
Cover the outfall and the egress conditions for, I don't know, 100, 200 feet, 300 feet, something like that downstream. Big cable goes all the way across the river there. Well, across that channel. Yeah. Yeah, last year the float line was about neck height above the river, which was an interesting.
I mean, if we don't need them, then we'll be great. Yeah.
That scared the heck out of me when I saw that. Somebody go scooting up there in a boat. And
so we can revisit that after spill season and see what kind of data we have and then make a decision hopefully as we go. If anybody has an issue with that.
And I would think, during the season, we could ask the hazers to protect that area.
Yeah, if we need to.
Keep an eye on it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or just a new one.
Within shotgun range, I think. Just about.
All right, let's move on to, hey Ben, if you could give an update on Spill Bay 15 hoist and your Unit 11 tail logs, appreciate it.
Sure. The hoist is in California. I mean, the gearbox anyway. We have someone there today, and tomorrow doing some final inspection on it to accept it. And then it should be fairly quick when we get it up here. We just got the UFA to buy new wire rope and cover the labor to install it once we get it here.
Are you kidding?
So we should be
26 April. Okay.
26 April.
Yeah.
Wow, it's been out since June of 08, something like that.
It's okay.
At least we're getting it back.
Well, it'd be nice to have it back.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Ben. John Day, Unit 5 operate. Whoop.
I just want to hear from Ben's lips. The twig is gone from the ice and trash this way.
The twig
and
quote is
gone. So it's completely operational then?
It is. They should have it back in position as we speak.
Okay. 25,000 pounds, 60 foot long twig is gone.
Yeah,
here
in China.
They're on the
website. That was big.
So Tammy's got them on the website if you want to take a peek at them. If you go to the FBOM site, there's also a video of some interesting geysers and water fountains at A Branch.
A Branch, yeah, I've seen that. Oh, yeah. Been there for years, actually.
Crazy.
Just had on the river coral.
Yeah, the dog fountain.
Bubbler.
So let's get into John Day. Unit 5 operation, STS installation, Miro.
Okay. Unfortunately, John Day Main Unit 5 was operating on stream April 1st through April 7th, and what happened there was an unfortunate timing with BPA Line 1 outage, which overlapped with the SDS deployment week and timing. So, it was kind of interdepartmental, the coordination maybe failure that wasn't anticipated, because what happened after the line, John Day has two options for station service, the primary 5 and main unit 1, and after line 1 was taken out of service, we couldn't depend on line on main unit 1, so the only option was 5. Couldn't be simply shut down to install SDS. Anyway, the SDSs were installed properly on April 9th after the line 1 outage.
Okay. Questions? So this, just for a quick peek here, this is, if you haven't been to the FBOM website, you should go there. Just haven't been there. Including spill patterns.
That page is still under construction.
I love
but there
the
are
fire under construction thing. You need a little face smile.
I haven't mastered that yet.
I can't understand.
Oh. So there's about 5 pictures
wow.
that
are on
there.
Holy cow.
Oh, okay.
So it's like
a 60-foot?
That's the twig.
That's the root ball
yeah.
line.
It's
quite a large kelp catcher.
You could have sold that for lumber and made some money for O&M. Build a house out of that thing.
Yeah. And Tammy, are you taking that to Bassley?
That's
a nice firewood.
Perfect log.
That was funny.
That was funny.
Well, Bern, we should thank the project for doing their inspections and finding this log that was underwater.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, it was hard to
well
see.
Well done, there, Mr. Hausman.
Thank you.
Look
at
that.
It's amazing. Yeah, it is. I was out there on the way up a couple days ago, and you couldn't see it. That was a big log not to be able to see.
So apparently, just
couldn't
just
see
through
it
the gate.
It was hanging off the end gate, which is the closure gate. It was down into the sluiceway. Yeah, all you could see is the butt end of it, and I couldn't even see that of the flowing sluiceway.
Yeah. Any board feet out of that? What do we build with it?
Yeah, thank you. Nice
okay,
wood.
Well, let's move on. Thanks for the picture. To the John Day fixed blades. Apparently, you're going to put blade extension gap fillers installed in the 511 later this summer. Is that correct? Schedule. What ones later this summer? August or after spill?
I'll find out. I don't know. I don't have any details.
Medina's the PM on that project.
All right, let's get into John Day Avian Wires. How are you looking?
Okay, the John Day Avian lines, great consist of 125 lines, and the last winter there was still a contract to improve the way they were installed, which was all work was completed. So at this time we have 123 lines in place. Two, I consider the minor powerhouse lines, are still missing. And since this equipment is in transition from the contractor and warranty into the project, there is still coordination ongoing on those two lines to be reinstalled. Again, the body of those lines, they are in the middle of the powerhouse, displayed between the powerhouse Bay 9 and Oregon Shore. They are relatively short as compared to the Stillwind, which are more value for the juvenile salmon protection. Those don't really make but they could be apparently of some value during the short period when the juvenile ran free.
They need to be put in. Yeah.
But they need to be reinstalled. Just we are attempting to do it. It may actually be fairly simple. By unhooking the adjacent line and hooking up the new one with the new material, which is fairly light, it may not require any bolt or any difficulties. However, we need to get a little bit more training from how this inline bridge is supposed to be maintained.
This is the Kevlar line?
Yeah.
Two of them?
It should be able to install them anytime, pretty soon.
Okay. Gulls are just kind of showing up and establishing at Miller Island or Miller Rocks. Ed, do you know anything about what this blocking, these blocked turbine blades, the gap fillers they're talking about? We need to get more information on that. That's something that I'm not. Yeah, it sounds like it's like towards the creating an MGR out of it.
Right, they were supposed to follow up, Bert, and they have not yet.
Sort of an MGR.
Is what George provided as a follow-up?
Yeah, that wasn't much.
That they're going to do it?
Yeah, that's about it. I don't know what they're doing. I just don't know what they're doing, and I'd like to know a little more about that. And it should have been something that TSP, which we're on, would have been. And there's been emails that I haven't opened from TSP, so it could be
the miscommunication. They said they welded the blades in place. They forgot to say there's a block that holds there, that's welded in place with it, and this is a filler of the gap. Is what they've described it as. They want to see drawings.
I understand the block. I don't understand the gap fillers. It made it sound like they were trying to create an MGR sort of. But I don't know how you do that without. I mean, how do you add to a blade without doing some modeling of that,
exactly.
Whatever you're adding.
Provide
length of the blade.
And an update.
How's the pressure change?
Because you do that. You have to run
that
through
the model.
What's the angle?
Gap on the inside, you have a length of the gap on the
hull. If that's all they're doing, I just don't know what they're doing.
Has anybody done this on a Kaplan blade?
Not that I'm aware of. Not when they fix them.
Do they grant it?
This is how you do it at all of them?
I don't know.
We've got this out there. We just don't know what it is. The pastor said you welded them. They didn't mention the whole process.
Right. I mean, welding them, you weld them, you put a block in there because you just can't weld it. That won't hold. So the block is what actually holds it. You just weld that in. That I understand. But then to go beyond that, to modify the shape of the blade, which is what you're doing. That is a very involved process. We spent a lot of time on CFD models and physical models at Erdic and look at all that. And what it sounds to me like is they're just welding on and whatever, changing the shape of the blade. And that sounds like, I'm sure HDC knows what they're doing, but I'd like to just have a little more information on that. That's not what it sounds like.
Yeah, I know it sounds different. It needs to be straightened out.
That'll be definitely something that George will have to resolve.
Yeah, program manager needs to, somebody needs to.
George Medina.
Yeah.
And the TL, I have no idea. Who's working on TSP now from Fishbass?
Laurie Ebner.
No, is it Mike? Mike's back on that?
Mike, no, it's Laurie.
I will be working on it.
You're a TSP guy now? Okay. Here's your first action item.
I got it written down right here.
Ready. Let's find out what's going on. Let's clear up this problem. This is what? Great having John as a researcher.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of researcher updates, Mr. Research, what do you got?
Researcher updates. Well, Tammy has a website on here.
No, that's for the approval letters. Yours is the next one. The Bond FGE TRD.
Is that where we're at?
Yes. We're at 3.3.1 Bonneville FGE TRD.
So Tammy sent out some drawings for this STS slot filler that the FGE team is pursuing for installation during the 13th fish passage season, and it's a proof of concept idea to fill a data gap. We have CFD modeling that shows that inner gate wells with high areas of turbulence, and over the last few years we've had elevated mortality, especially when operating in the upper 1% efficiency range. So the CFD modeling shows that by filling the slot, we should be able to streamline the centerline velocities as well as flow through the VBS. The plan is to install these STS slot fillers, which are about 25 feet tall, and sit basically on top of the turning vane. And we would probably go in March. That's what we're hoping. I'm trying to still working on scheduling and what we can and can't do with the project and unit outages, but we're looking to verify the CFD model with physical measurements and then followed by fish tests, depending on what we find in the physical velocity measurements. So has everybody had a chance to look at the drawings that were provided?
I'd like to real quick and just think I got lost in the boring fish.
From Georgia.
Basically, the gaps are small between the STS and the slots on the ends, were probably an inch to an inch and a half, and between the outer walls of the STS slot, slot filler itself, about 5/8 of an inch. The edges will be ground, to be rounded. They're not going to be radius by the manufacturer, but for a prototype, they'll be ground. And we're just curious if anybody has any fantastic concerns about that.
Grinding,
yeah, just to take the sharp edge off. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Who's on the FG team here besides you? Are you involved with this at all?
Through Federwig, yeah.
So you've seen the design and...
Yeah.
It's the first time I've seen it.
Don't want to get to
the idea, but no.
Yeah, not the actual design or the drawings, but I mean we know what it is. It's just a matter of it's sharp. You know, you don't want sharp edges, burrs, anything like that. It's in any kind of fish passage structure, which a gate well is. So you know, I mean, we would want to look at it before it went in, but
yeah,
that's going to be months from now. So
and there, yeah, there, this is still under design. There are
maybe a year from now
that are being made. We would have liked to have had this in for the guides installed by this fall, but due to the construction scheduling, we can't
do seven.
Unit 14 for the overhaul time window before the gantry crane goes out for maintenance. And once the gantry crane comes out for maintenance, we can't do anything with the tie crane to dewater a unit. We looked into that with the project, and they won't do that except in an emergency situation. They could install bulkhead in a slot with a tie crane, but until we get the gantry crane back February 15th,
right,
that's the soonest we can look to get into a unit.
You'll have these things built and on site sometime this fall, probably
by September,
and so we can look at them then to look at finish issues, and then it's a matter of waiting until February to get the rest of it done.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, we're waiting on a CFD model?
Or do we have that? The CFD modeling shows that, we should see improvement in gate well hydraulics with this installed, so we're looking to verify that.
All right. We'll see. Yeah.
so much confidence in
that. We're not too confident in that, John, but that's a long story.
We are pursuing the other alternatives while we do this.
Yeah, no, this is, we're okay. We're on board with trying it.
Well, yeah, we have to do something. This is the first step.
Yeah.
All right, anything else?
It'd be cheaper if it works.
RCC update? Mr. Mouse?
All right, so at Lower Granite currently, we've got inflows of 100.4, 5-day forecast going up to 110.2, and 10-day forecast increasing up to 137.3. At McNary, inflows currently 291.5, 5 days going up to 305.5, and 10 days 334.9. The Dalles currently 289.8, 5 day forecast 301.6, and 10 day forecast 333.2. And at Bonneville,
some
similar
water there.
Currently 297.3, 5 day 307.9, and 10 day up to 338.8.
What's the shape on that? Are we going to see that go down for the next few days and up, or a couple days,
I think
or
it's just, well,
or constantly up?
At Bonneville, I was looking at the STP and it looked like it was going to drop for a couple days, and then
go down over the weekend, and
then go up. So during
the week
for Spring Creek release, that's an important piece.
Is it irrigation, Lisa? We're looking at the loss there. The irrigation or reducing water between McNary and the Dalles.
So he's got 334 at McNary.
334.9 and 332.9.
That's kind of what I told him. So
must be irrigation.
Good. It's just good.
After last night,
couldn't be evaporation. It's not that.
It's actually the Dalles is lower.
So they have to bring people from off station.
Thought of irrigation.
It's a labor intensive process.
They better get them back on in a hurry. Yeah. Crack the whip.
Did you get some clarification on will it be scheduled to occur on Friday, tomorrow, or?
They will be prepared to do it as soon as I let them know that yes, it's completely operational. Because I was told earlier, they have called back, the stick is clear. But,
okay.
Yeah. So it'll be great when we'll call.
Okay. Yeah, sounds
they just
like
needed to know by 2 o'clock this afternoon to make sure they can get it set up for tomorrow.
Okay. Do you need any kind of calls from Dean if he?
Not yet.
An issue for what?
No.
There's a million fish.
A million fish going through there.
Okay, I thought you were referring to the log at Powerhouse Farm.
No, they've had problems. I mean, the fry mortality rates have been high all spring. So for run of the river fish, right? And Spring Creek.
What's the river temperature?
44, 45, it's been okay, it's cool, it's just this is an issue of running those units at the upper end of
right.
of 1%, which is something that we should not be doing. That's just my opinion. Those units at that powerhouse should be running mid-range all spring long.
And Gary, there's a trade-off.
I understand the trade-off, yeah.
We were spilling up to 140 yesterday.
The gas is the issue.
The gas
is
the fallback.
Yeah, I know. You're killing fish one way or the other. So that needs to be the way. It's something you have to look at. Fallback would be a problem if we had fish passing, but we don't.
So,
10. Yeah, all 10. I'm not too worried about that right now.
This is a GBT sample day up at the JFF too.
So, like anxiously waiting still.
Okay.
They're going to be.
So yeah, they'll be there, but it's just.
What's that?
There was this partial fishing very well yesterday.
So they're there.
Yeah,
they'll. Yeah, well, that that's what we're talking about is about 30 kcfs. It's not a lot.
It's more than that.
No. It's 4 kcfs per unit. Nope. 4 k per unit. So for all 7 units.
Like 8 units.
Yeah, soon to be eight. But still, it's not a lot of, it could be a huge impact on juveniles, and that's not a huge impact on fallback. So I think it's something that needs to be looked at more carefully.
The thing we're up against right now is the gas cap.
I know, but you know, gas caps are, I mean, project limits are the project limits. We have a 1% limit out there, and what I'm saying is we should probably be viewing this mid-range operation as a 1% limit. That's the capacity of the powerhouse. End of story.
So we would differ on that opinion.
I know, but that's my opinion.
Should we revisit the 1% at this first powerhouse?
So
I'm okay with that. You know that. But that's
right,
not.
But as a way to run more water through and then be able to back up the units, that might be at certain flows a way to do it.
Yeah. I'm on record as saying that's a good idea, but others aren't, so.
Yeah.
So I just to make sure, what were you thinking the flow differential was between 100% and 50%?
Curious, it's 4K per unit.
About 4K per unit.
That'd be 32.
That's at 48 feet ahead, which is what we're at now. So it does vary, Scott. You're right. It,
so
yeah, it could be higher.
The thought is to transfer it over to D1 if you can.
It'd probably be more at 50-something foot ahead, but we're not going to see that.
Hmm? We're 45 today.
Foot, yeah. So it's even less. So that's, you know, that's it is about 4K. So as you were talking, 25 to 30, depending on units. That's not a lot of spill.
I thought it was about
that. I don't think it would make that much of a difference in fallback, but it could make a huge difference in survival of your fish and river run fish as well.
Any other research updates?
Tail race gas cap. What goes over? That's tough.
I don't think so, no.
All right, let's move on. Fishing study. Fish update. So far, we have euthanized not we, but the states of Idaho, Washington, Oregon have euthanized four total, and
four
one more today. We caught in this morning that it was on the list, and they branded three more. So that's three new individuals. So.
It says the sea shepherd been seen in the tail race.
Out there every day,
are they?
Well, they're kind of driving around and they're asking questions in video today. Whoever will talk to them and what's that?
They're on shore.
They're going on in through the gates and then they're on their way to the visitor center. If they see a observer, they'll stop and talk to them. They totally have a protocol to follow. So
they were on Tower Island yesterday.
Yeah, they've been in a lot. They've been in places they haven't been. Security's had to escort them off those places.
Sure.
As far as the state of Washington, is their enforcement has met with the Sea Shepherd point of contact and had discussions. Currently, they haven't asked for an organized protest, so.
They haven't harassed the harassers.
No.
Yep.
So, they're out there, so be cognizant of that. And if people do come up to you and start asking about sea lions, they probably have a video tape going.
I'm going to punch them out and say I work with the Corps.
Keep your Corps hard hat.
Yes.
Dude,
I still have my Fish and Wildlife.
The bird is a Sea Shepherd TV show. Sea Shepherd.
What's that?
Is this the real Sea Shepherd?
This is the real Sea Shepherd. Yeah.
Out of Seattle.
Yeah. And if you could follow on Facebook, they're blogging or whatever, and they can have 100 people out here and no
doubt. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for any reporters online, I was just being grossly grossly politically incorrect.
So that's the latest. However, the fish run is starting to pick up, and some more sea lions are coming into the area. Stellars, I don't know what the number is, but they're up there, like 20 or so.
Well, they've taken out 8 sea lions in the last. I mean, that's escalated really quickly, so I can see potential.
Out 4 of these total 5.
Oh, I thought you said 4 more.
Granted 3
more. Oh, granted. So, okay. Total 5. Okay.
see what the data looks like again.
Look at the box on threatened species.
Okay, let's move on to BPA. BPA updates. Scott, you got anything for Bonneville Power?
There's nothing in the near term for transmission. There are some outages in August we need to talk a little bit more about, but I need to collect some information on those. Okay. Nothing right away.
Sammy, you got some coordination forms you need approval. First one is Gantry 7 rehab.
So hopefully you've all looked at that coordination form. This is the one that we had coordinated last year and the year before about coordinating Gantry 7 coming out of service and what that means for fish passage at Powerhouse 2, how we're going to configure the units with screens. We had originally said up to three units would have screens in them, but BPA decided they didn't quite like that idea, and I know that others had expressed further concern about this coordination. So this is the new form, and what we're proposing is having Unit 11, assuming that it does really come back in service, as outfitted with the screens. So August 1st, we would have one screened unit at Powerhouse 2. Powerhouse 1 would be the priority powerhouse. And if you look at the flows from 07 through 11, it shows you kind of what flows could fit within our capacity. From November, when the fish units and the DSM go out of service, we would then have seven unscreened units that could operate at Powerhouse 2 through the winter, as well as Powerhouse 1. The project will not pull STSs with the tide crane. So once these screens are in or out, that is how they will remain until the gantry comes back in service.
So 11 will be screened
all through the winter then.
Right, which is really no different than the last 4 years. It will be out of service during the winter.
It's just that it's operating.
It's in there. Yeah.
No, it won't be operating. 11. We will not operate the screened unit during the winter, because we won't have a DSM to put juveniles into. So any units that is screened would be considered out of service.
So it's going to be tagged out until 15th of February, or thereabouts. Yeah. Don't like it. That's all I can say.
Well, I'm open for suggestions.
I don't see any alternative.
So
I just don't like
it.
No, it's because the screens require a 2-point pick. The project will not do a 1-point pick with the STSs because there's a greater likelihood of them getting lodged in the slots and then
So two cranes.
What?
They won't do it.
Two coordinated
cranes.
The wires go
oh,
up the exact same
coordinated cranes on the same governor.
Scott, how do you guys feel about one screen unit?
Yeah.
At this time, I understand the proposal and it seems reasonable. I'm still shopping it. It sounds like that's one that could fly. The reason I withdrew my earlier support of the proposal is because you cannot clean the screens. That's what made it work last time. But given that we cannot, that sounds like a good compromise.
So we need to bring this back next FPOM with more information.
I can send out an email saying we go along with it once I get the final thumbs up.
What's your concern, Scott?
In terms of in the past, we were going to have three screens and we'd be able to clean them. That went away. The new compromise with having the one unit screen and then taking it out of service, that seems to be the best compromise we have. I just have to finish closing the loop in the house. They're busy with other stuff this spring. I think that'll fly. So I'll call it confirmed.
Yeah, okay. So that would.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what BPA's issue is there, but I know my issue is fallback through non-screen units. I mean, first powerhouse being, we normally don't have it as our priority powerhouse. It's second powerhouse, and we've been minimized use of it. Now that we'll maximize use of it, any fallback fish are going to have to hit that sluice way. Otherwise, it's through the units they go.
And that's mainly overwintering steelhead issue, I think, that'll be the issue there, not so much kilts or anything.
The guarantee the approval I have to get is to have the unit guaranteed out of service before 5 months.
I see.
Got it. I think it's okay.
That's it. Okay. I just didn't know what the angle was. Okay.
Okay, so you'll get that.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
And that'll be the operations.
Yeah, I don't see how you can do anything else. You know, it's just what it is.
Okay. The next change form is...
Who's
that?
Ben.
Ben wants you.
Yeah, Ben. You can probably understand the speaker talk.
I'll update you afterwards, Ben.
You can't understand it. Only the project bios can understand that kind of talk.
Ben, it's basically no change from what you're planning.
I'll email.
That's a drive in.
So we've already discussed the avian wires.
Avian wires and T1 units, 1 and 2 outage. The bells.
So T1, that's unit 1 and unit 2. We're required to have those on per fish passage plan. They need to do work on those transformers, but now it's looking like, from what I understand, they may not have the materials that they want to do, that they need for to do the work. They're having some issues with getting those on time, so that might be pushed even further. So
you're talking October 15th through November 8th?
What was that?
The dates.
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
It's October is when this would happen if it doesn't get pushed.
Yes.
Which is not a... That's okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I discussed with the PNNL as well about how they look at this group on.
Yeah, shouldn't be. Well... Okay.
Any comments, concerns?
Not that late. And it may slide later. Yeah, so.
We'll revisit it before the actual.
And the sluiceway is not going to change. Everything's going to be open, so the gates will be open. Not changing the sluiceway.
No,
adult fallback. It's not an issue.
Units where you should be available. Change the open gate over 5 instead of 4.
Five instead of 4, you said?
If 1 through 4 is out of service, you were going to open a gate.
No, it's not going to be 1 through 4. It's just going to be
one and two.
Yeah, 3 and 4 will be open.
But I would leave those gates open, one open.
So the plan says 3 and/or 4. We'll just make it 3 and 4 and make sure we have
that. Okay.
All right, Bob, you said you have an avian contingency plan that you would like to discuss.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
It's kind of a contingency plan.
We were trying to figure out, you might remember we're going to have a reduced avian hazing this year due to lack of funding. So we're looking at one.
It's due to lack of need, is it?
I wouldn't go that far. Yeah.
I guess it's a combination of lack of funding and probably a lack of needs.
The agreed to avian hazing.
I guess we'll find out after this year if it's
I mean, I would say that between the corner collector issue and this is a hell of a lot.
Oh, no. This is
a bigger issue.
Yeah, we understand.
So what we're looking at was we previously had 2 8-hour boat shifts downstream of the bridge, which was the hot spot that we couldn't cover with wires. And this year we'll have 1 8-hour shore-based ship of gazing running from mid-April through July. So
through August or April? Or
what's that?
Through, you said through July. Is it through August or July?
In July. We usually run it 3 months. That's what we've been doing in the past. We're adding mid-April now because we've been hit early the last few years. So we're looking at mid-April through July.
Okay, it says in here in the plan through August.
Oh, is that what I put in there?
Mm-hmm.
April through August.
April, July.
Got to hold you to it now. It's in writing.
Uh-oh.
Early August. How about that?
It says August.
It says August. Form time.
Yeah, maybe I meant two.
Okay, now I have a comment. No, it says through.
Okay.
I don't have a comment yet, but your next draft I will.
So we were trying to figure out, so what are we going to do if things look really ugly and, you know, the hazer goes home for the day and we just get slammed with birds, and we really don't have a good number for a trigger as to when we really need to step up our efforts. We're looking at FFU observation data and consumption data that they put together the last couple of years. And, you know, we're looking at, if you have 100 birds out there, we're losing about 50 to 75 fish an hour. So I don't know if that's okay or not. I don't know what the line is. So our plan right now is to just, if we get this this new monitor program in place where we have real-time information and we put it out there for everybody to see, and then I'll basically let you guys say when it's a problem.
It's a problem when there's more birds out there than there were last year during the performance test. That's the problem.
What was that?
Your performance test last year, you don't want more birds there this year than you had last year. And that's you established the bar,
right,
already. So you have to keep that. If we see a lot more birds, I don't know what a lot is, but if it looks worse than what I've seen in the past, I mean, the reason we did the lines was to try to meet the performance standards, which we didn't meet the year before. So you didn't meet them, you put the lines and all the hazing in there, you met it.
Barely.
Now you start barely, and you start taking that stuff away. My assumption is you don't meet it anymore. That's another how many million-dollar study to prove it? So you're kind of on the hook. I mean, this is the lesson, that when you're doing stuff during those years of performance studying, then you're on the hook to do that forever, really, until the next buyout, which seems like forever.
Then again, if we get through this season and we pass...
This year, are we doing a spring test? I don't think so. No, you're not doing a test. Unless you can pass it on a single release. Not likely. So, that's a chance. I mean, that puts you in a tailspin or a big discussion. And right now, we're not meeting the standards at any of these dams by very much. So, you know, there's not a lot of room for adjustments or for averaging or any of that kind of stuff. So just backing away from something like that, the standard is you don't want to see a change. Mm-hmm. You don't want to see a change from what you had in the past. But 2 years. Well, 1 year.
You have 1 year based on.
So calibrate your eye or remember what you saw before, but that's what you don't want. You want to see that. You don't want to see what you saw 2 years ago.
You can have Nathan look at that data and see
if there's any idea of what the numbers were. I mean, this is the idea of having that consistent monitoring effort, is such you can say, you know, in general or in quadrant by quadrant, here's the number of gulls we've seen, and that's our standard. That's what we don't want to see anything worse than. But I don't know. Yeah, you guys have been doing a better job than anybody on the river for doing that, for keeping track of avian, you know, by quadrant, by numbers, and by more rigorous. So you should have enough information to base a decision
numbers.
Yeah. I would boil it down maybe week by week or month by month from last year and say, here's what we don't want to see more of. That's your bar.
So we need to make, at least get some data together and look at it, but using numbers from last year and get a trigger established from that and then have a boat.
That's, if you start to exceed that trigger, then you get guys out there and go after them.
The MSDA is staged to have a boat in there within 24 hours.
That's fine. So you've got confirmation from USDA on that? Because I just got an email from them because I was asking them. So now if we need a boat, can you have one there? And if didn't sound very good.
Well, it also depends on what's going on with John Day. We can pull one down if there's not an issue there at that time and then get another vote in.
I have one for hire, if you're interested.
Yeah, we'll need to work through that and make sure that we have that.
I don't know. Long term, maybe the FWO can come in handy for that kind of stuff.
It's an emergency.
Some kind of hazing off of it. You know.
It's a boat.
Yeah.
I'm trying to fix off of a core boat owned and operated. It's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know.
Good old days of you guys shooting pyrotechnics off are over.
Well, but you found out that it's officially
No, I didn't even look into it.
Okay, so I'm going to...
I don't trust you with a gun.
This doesn't... Hey, Corey, this doesn't bode well for our goose hunt next year.
You'll have to use a bow.
You got arrows?
Pyrotechnic arrows. The Indians fire did it girls. Like that. You.
Little pint pitch goes a long ways.
Yeah, you just have to hire some of the
local tribes. All right, so I'm going to get Nathan on board, look at the numbers, and we'll put out another kind of an analysis and maybe a trigger. Was it 5% increase?
Zero.
Oh, you're so hard today.
One. Nathan might say, too, is he always says it's not the number, it's the rate. So, expecting saying that, the predation rate, the number that you're saying.
But that's our numbers are going to have to be our gauge on that. I don't know how you do the rate unless you're out there monitoring.
We're not going to be doing that.
Bill loads or whatever.
Numbers. It's all numbers for now.
Yeah, I hear your point.
There's a big issue.
So just a little more detail then. So the dam-based angler is not, or I mean angler, hazer is not going to be dam-based. He's going to be sitting out on that Navlock Peninsula, basically camped out there because that's
the spot.
And that's the closest they can get. He'll be there during the 8-hour shift. We'll deviate the shift so it's not the same time every day. And then I got to talk to him. I'll talk to him Monday. I'm going to meet with him to get a propane cannon out there when they leave. We can set that up. And that's about it.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna keep looking into finding out what it would take for Corda to shoot.
I think it's wasting your time.
It's all right. Got to try some.
Yeah.
Cost effective.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you should at least try.
We'll just keep going up the ladder.
Well, I feel confident that man at the end of that Navlock is going to do a great job. That he's going to be able
for his 8 hours.
To do his 8 hours of gazing. And when is he starting?
Monday. Well, we don't have any birds right now, but
so be prepared for some phone calls from the bluffs.
We didn't get any last year.
No.
Good. I think the little dog.
The wind was dying.
Little dog. Scared him to death.
All right. There's definitely more Dallas story. Bill Gates. Bob. Again.
All right.
Go ahead.
Spillgate 9.
Hold on a second. A little history on it. The wire rope replacement on all the Dallas spillgates was like 2005 or 6, something like that. And
something like that.
They mainly targeted 1 through 9, I think, with the replacement. 1 through 8.
And the conference.
At that time, 40% spill was basically through 1 through 6, with 7 and 8 as the next phase on. So now here we are with the new spill wall, and Bay 9 is part of the pattern. So
got a little more history on it, too. When those cables were replaced, this particular pin on Gate 9 was bad. we had to replace it. So we bought the pin and didn't have the funding to put it in. So maintenance at that time was able to get a little more grease where it was needed before they had to do to get the thing actually functioning again. It's functioning up until now, so we're back in the same boat. They're not willing to take the risk of trying to get it functioning again. They know it's a failed piece and it needs to be replaced to do it right. So this particular failure is project engineering considers this particular failure worse than any of the other gates that are cleared out, the structural, the wire rope. This one is worse. This one has the biggest risk with that particular component. So at this point, it's cleared out. And so we have a big hole right beyond the wall, on the south side of the wall. 9, 10, 11 are out of service, pegged out of service, emergency use only. Last of all those to be used in emergency. And then there's various other holes along that spoke ahead. Right now, as far as the plan forward, and then on attached is a chart of the gate condition. That's a colorful spreadsheet showing the condition of all the gates and where we're at on that. But as of right now, we don't have a plan to gain it because we can't do any money. And we haven't had joint funding for gates, anything on the spillway for a long time. The spillways are bad. We're stuck.
What's the cost?
To put the pin in, about $200.
$200, and how much time?
They didn't have time.
Like a week? Day?
Don't know.
Okay.
Is it the contract, or are you doing it with your own personnel?
It would probably be contracted. I'm not sure on that here. And the $200 was away. But it's pretty expensive to get that pin. And it's not, they got a bulk in, they got to lift everything out. It's not as simple as you see.
They have to do what? They have to bulk in? The whole thing at the bulkhead, the whole on tail,
bulkhead it off
on the upper side.
Four bay.
And then they have to be,
that makes sense.
Do a lot of work just getting it prepped to pull one in.
So how long was it take? Yeah, will that take?
It's a district priority, and we're going to search for funds in the program, and as soon as we can identify those, we'll move out.
It's a priority bay. Makes a big hole.
Yeah, it's bay 9, putting the pin in.
And so now we're looking at installation.
What it means is
we have to get like four. Well, I saw the new pattern just come out, but the old pattern was a 420 river really between bay 9. And with the new pattern that Lori's in matter or whatever.
Probably.
That's like a 440 river now. We'll get us a big one.
And what's the spill pattern?
It's not looking like line, but outside the wall.
What's that? The spill pattern, how's it look with just bays 1 through 8? Is it significantly worse?
Well, 1 through 8 is fine. That's inside the wall. But the problem is that bay 9 is the next bay beside the wall.
Right.
As soon as you shut it off, you've got 10 and 11 are off too. So now you're way over in 12 with your spill, which goes directly at the shelf downstream, runs. It's just a killer for fish.
And
yeah, 13's out, so then the next one over is 14.
Are we going to hit, are we going to exceed that more than likely this spring?
RCC.
We did it last year.
On the RCC call, it sounded like the forecast was under, but.
The current forecast is under, but last year the forecast, I think, was 415 and went up to 500.
Yeah.
So, it's certainly within the realm of possibility.
Especially hourly type things, you get whatever's going on. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
That's something that.
So, we need to get it bulkheaded. It's a matter of money and time, and it's a priority, so I can just tell you that much.
I wonder about operation of the river. I mean, we don't want to see this go out.
Do you care day or night?
Yeah.
Do you prefer the pattern to be good when you're 1 through 8, day or night?
It doesn't matter. It's bad either way.
Would you like periods of time when it was just at 440? If we could do a pattern from 1 through 8, and then the rest of the time we hit a lot more water and then back off, is it better to be out part of the time and have it in part of the time? Or do you just...
Not all the time.
You know, spilling beyond the bays, 12, 13, 14, 15.
So 1 through 8 plus.
Hold it till night. And go outside.
Yeah, either hold tonight or hold it today. I mean, do you want a period of time when we're only inside bays 1 through 8 and use our reservoirs to flex and then move more water at some period of time and come back in with criteria?
Right.
Do you want to try to do something like that? Or you
so I was just trying to think if there's a way we can minimize. We need to say that we need to minimize the operation of outside those to the extent that we can.
Right.
So those kind of load shaping questions are going to...
It's not load. It would just be purely for this reason. You're so far beyond your...
I know, but load is what causes things to jump up and down on daily basis.
Well, kind of. It changes your spill amount at other projects. The amount of water
that's just at those levels,
we could use the reservoirs to flex it if there was some value to having there. If you're going to be out, be way out, and then come back in.
Yes.
So think about that. You don't have to have an answer, but that's one way to skin the cat if there is some value.
Just follow and check. That's easy for us.
Right. You spill 3 bays more in for 2 hours and 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
But first one's problem.
Something to think about, but hopefully we can get
check all 14 minutes.
Yeah, let's get that thing fixed. Yeah.
Greg was just saying, just check, see how it's going.
I think you can probably. Yeah, it is.
The answer is it's doing fine.
Yeah, and it's serious. I mean, when spilling that far away from the rest of the spill just does everything that we tried to not do with everything that we've done to date for fish passage at that dam. So. It's just a bad situation. I mean, whether it's a short period, long period, it's all. I don't know if there's anything better. Fish don't pile up in 4 days.
That's a good thing. Hours of fish are passed, you have what you want. Versus never having it if it's always over and dribbling it out.
If you could, and the other thing is you start backwatering 4 bays and have to go out of water out of the operation.
Well, you might have to hire John Bay. Give me the parameters you think that might be beneficial. If none of it is, that's fine. So, Vern, this will be an update next step, Tom, and an EL sooner if something comes up.
Yep.
Well, the best thing is to stay below that Q.
Right.
He was on Q.
As much as possible. So, make it so.
Yes, okay.
Slow runoff.
No, I want to summer this year.
Slow snow up here. I mean, it's working. Slow runoff. Okay, let's move on.
Well, we have 2 spill patterns Lori wanted us to discuss. Are you ready to...
For John Day? For the Dells?
The Dells.
Yeah, with Bay 9 being out of service.
That's a bitter weekend.
Okay. She said she'd give it to us, and then we could decide. Is it something we could get done today?
You guys feel confident we can get that done, the spill pattern?
Okay. Nope. Haven't looked at it. Tom's not here. Some other people.
Okay. When do we think we can turn that around in either group? Because there's a chance the flows are going to come up in the next week or two.
Maybe. And go over the 400?
Hope not.
Well, let's...
You don't want to wait too long this time of year to not be prepared.
So who's going to present the 2 spill patterns? Who's the expert on that?
I'm not the expert in it. Experts? Yeah.
Just
two
spreadsheets. Who's going to do it?
Let's get us a meeting together for this. We need to do it.
Who are we going to ask questions of?
Yeah. I can't answer the questions on this.
So Merv, can you get Lori to pull a meeting together?
Yeah.
Have you looked at these yet?
That looks good to me. So I'm going to pull a meeting together. I don't think you can bring this up. So skipping that. Change forms, fish passage change forms. Ice Harbor's got a primary dewatering structure.
Primary dewatering structure at Ice Harbor. You can see right there, currently on the fish passage plan, says a sweet trash, trash meter operating correctly. That's one thing that you do, of course. Frequency of sweep should be set necessary to maintain a clean stream, yada, 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 which is really good for once per hour. Automatic clearing system problem would occur, or any other debris store like that, and project biological change, business would change at least once per work shift, or more is necessary to maintain a clean stream. The project biologist wants to change this to basically the frequency operation of the trash week. And he wants to change that frequency to coincide with more debris all the time. He actually says, put this in the fish passage plan. The project biologist shall determine the frequency of operation of the trash week. The sweep should operate at a frequency to maintain a clean stream given present debris loads, which varies through the year. If automated cleaning system problems occur, operate manually at least once per week, or do it once per work shift, or more as necessary. And what's happening is that it's running, of course, all the time, once per hour. And he feels that it does not need to be operated at times when there's really low debris on the screen. I mean, basically, it's just running all the time, once per hour. Now, if it needs to be done, of course, he's going to change that frequency that's going on. This trash sweep operation involves cables that pulls the brush across back and forth through the system. These cables have been replaced two or three times per year or tightened all the time. When they have to do some maintenance on these cables, it takes time out of the operation of the trash sweep process. It takes more than an hour, of course, to replace those things. So what he's getting at, the less time the cables have to be operated, the brush have to be operated during periods when there's no debris, the longer the trash sweep can be in operation overall.
And that still does have the compressed air cleaning system underneath the screen now. It's two, right?
Yes.
So everybody needs to keep that.
So we have, bubbles coming up really underneath too. So it's basically just instead of replacing the cables because of the lengthening, because we use the cables, wire ropes, or keep it in place.
So is that thing operating right now?
Oh yeah, it's operating right now.
So it starts the start of fish passage season.
Starting the fish pass
every hour.
Start of the collection as soon as we put down all the STSs. I don't know what happened last week or 2 weeks.
2 weeks ago before spill started.
Yeah.
Greg, how about using his language that Mark wrote out, but say minimizing the automatic cleaning to once every 3 hours? That would cut it down a lot.
That it could. I can bring that back.
So you're going from every hour that has to be done to every third hour.
Remember, you may want to do it more frequently.
Well, that's why I said his language says you do it as frequent as needed. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Right.
What's the criteria?
I hate to just take out anything of at least it being required. Why don't you just cut it back from every hour to every third hour?
Minimum operation burn is at least once per hour.
There's no criteria set, it's just once per hour right
That's
now.
What it currently says right now.
I think he needs to come up with some criteria of like one he's going to do it more frequently than three every third hour.
Yeah, because nighttime,
yeah.
Who knows what's coming through there, and debris could be coming through there pretty heavy.
You have to remember though, this screen is like 6-8 feet down in the water. You can't see it. So as far as going up and looking for debris stuck on the screen, you don't have that to go by. What you have is just the basic how much debris is coming through the facility.
I thought there was a
measured drawdown or something?
The head differential.
It's not on the primary water, not the primary.
No,
it's on the secondary.
No one uses it.
Sure, no.
Well, what I'm hearing is Bill's okay with changing it to 3 times automated, but I think we need to come up with some kind of criteria, or at least see what there is out there. Is there a gauge that you can say, okay, if it's drawn down this much?
Differential at some sort of level.
Well, actually, isn't it automatic so that as the screens plug that the weirs are automatically adjusted?
The weirs adjust themselves, according to the differential between the upwell side
so
and the other side.
Technically, it's not that big of an issue overnight then because the weirs will self-adjust. It'll just be a difference of where the water's pouring over. It won't be pulling through the screen any longer.
If you block part of the screen, all you're going to do is you're going to be increasing velocities through the rest of the screen until you get significant plugging, and then you're going to...
Then you're
going
to over the weirs.
Eventually, yeah. Over the center section.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, you're good with every 3 hours?
Yeah, they cut down on the maintenance. It sounds like that's the problem, that they're wearing things out too fast. But I still like to have a mandatory at a particular time. But I like the idea of doing a lot more when the project biologist sees you can see in the sample when there's a lot of debris in the river.
Yeah.
You know, one thing probably to bring up here is... those cable-driven screen cleaning systems that we have, they really are not very reliable. They have a lot of issues. I think maybe we should look into changing the way they work, including the one at Lomo. I'd like to go to a rack and pinion drive system instead of the cable and sheave system, you know, just because you would get away from a lot of
that cable goes.
Yeah, because that cable going around that 8-inch loop wears itself and causes problems. So,
question. With the 1 hour treatment, with the 1 hour cleaning that he has been doing, has there been an event where that wasn't sufficient? Did they need to go more than 1 hour?
They'd have to have some work on that.
That's part of the thing is because you never really know because you can't see the screen. The screen's too deep. So mostly when you see lots of debris coming in, you run it more frequently so that the debris as it's going down your flume, is going down in small increments instead of one great big freaking bushel basket.
Maybe that's why you do it every hour instead of every 3. Because every 3 hours you might send a big wad all at one time.
Yeah, I think what Mark's just looking for is the ability to adapt it to the debris conditions that he's seeing at the time.
Yeah, at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see when the large debris or even more debris starts being, on the screen at certain times of the year.
If you stand at the downstream end when your system cycles, you can see the debris as it enters the flow coming out of the primary. Okay, so that would be your monitoring spot.
I see. So that 1 hour rate, that was just the rate that the people threw out there to get adopted? It wasn't something that was...
It must have been something like that in the PP. It felt like that at another... I don't know.
Bill, how many times is your project?
Mine's set up so I can do it every 10 minutes automatically, every 15, I think, every half hour, every 45 minutes, and every hour, I believe. We put in a selector switch.
Is it a minimum?
I run it once an hour as a minimum, but rarely do I go to there. Normally it's every half hour. Because I'm always paranoid. It's not that it necessarily needs
every 3 hours at S Harbor.
Pardon?
The half hour at your project and 3 hours at S Harbor?
I might be doing it way more than necessary, but I just...
You're not having a problem, sorry.
I'm wired that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your system works.
I haven't had a problem.
There's a reason for it.
But then again, mine, like I said, has wear issues too, just like Mark's. So I think the cure is get something that has less maintenance and operating problems, and let's run them however often it's just.
Should we get you a 3-hour switch?
That works. It became a chain system of goops. Instead of cable, it's just a chain of sprockets.
Chain stretch two.
So, Bill, what do you think? I think it's your call.
Well, not talk to Bonneville.
Maybe 3 hours is too long.
Talk to Bonneville.
I mean, an hour is perhaps appropriate.
Could be.
Desire debris is what? What do you debris in milfoil?
I hate to say it. There isn't
that smaller debris is pretty well covered with the compressed air system. The mechanical sweep works better for the large waterlogged limbs and those twigs that the beavers have bitten off.
Yeah. Beaver sticks.
Ryan, would you put that on your list? Checking out how to. How to change the drive system?
Sure.
So for this change form, are we going to go to the 3 hours and come up with some kind of criteria based on what's passing the facility or what? You need something.
Yeah, I need something.
Not just like,
so
descaling. If it's descaling, you go to 1 hour.
He's doing. You know the problem is. You could get a whole bunch of debris down there and not see any descaling issues. Because it's down on the bottom, they got a huge amount of water above it. It's like living in the stream, right?
So,
I suggest you guys go back and talk to Mark and come up with a little bit tighter reason for the change in a plan.
Yeah, I think Mark needs to provide better justification. Yep.
Burn. I can go back to the Dow spill pattern and give you an answer on that.
You want to go back to the Dow? You got it. It's up there.
Version 2. B2.
Is that 2?
That's my choice.
So, well, Dave's outside. But
yeah, if he comes in, that'd be good.
I'll agree with you.
It's either what it comes down to is either hard starting spate bay 12 or slow starting bay 12 and then carrying on across. So you go up to 12 stops very quickly or go keep it at 4 stops, then 8 stops for a long period of time. You're not seeing it there. Whoever's running that needs to change it. But move over to the left. All the way to the. Well, that's not what I'm seeing. I'm like. Oh, keep going down. Keep going down. Sorry. Keep going down. Go down to row 73. So you see it's 73, and that's at. Well, okay, it's 67 on there. I guess that's a different line, but. 444 river. Yeah. Okay, what this pattern does is it starts at 4K, the other one does too, but then it quickly goes to 12K, V1 does. V2 stays at 4 for several river flows before it finally starts. It's just soft. It basically what it does is it keeps the bay openings outside the wall low up until 500, way over 500 KCFS. The other pattern puts... If you switch over to V1, you'll see, and go down to that same level, you'll see that it starts out at 4 and goes to 12 within 3 steps. So what that would do is that would entice, I think, more fish to go outside the wall quicker.
So pattern 2 looks like the favorable pattern, and then...
I would say. That's my opinion.
If you have an option of dumping more water at a certain time or just bring it on as you need it...
Oh, the pattern's here. I mean, it just follow the pattern as best as you can do. See, what she's doing in V1 is she's going to 12 right away within a couple of steps. But what I think that'll do is pull a lot more fish. Because what we've learned is that those fish will come across along the non-overflow section of the dam, cross the spillway, and then start choosing the first base they come to. In this case, it'd be outside the wall.
So V2 spreads across to 23 faster.
It does. But you're going to have fewer fish going through those bays because you have a huge amount of spill inside the wall until you get up to 520 river, and I don't really care at that river flow. You can probably spill them wherever you want to. So that's
okay, so
my opinion.
Does anybody else have a problem using the spill pattern
E2? You might want to quiz other folks who weren't here and get an opinion. But yeah.
Reasonable to me.
It looks better.
So let's, I don't know who else we need to talk to.
Those bays are actually.
You sounded like you wanted floors to weigh in before.
Oh, yeah, Tom.
Egress.
Yeah, I mean, egress is. Once you get on the other side of the wall, egress sucks. I don't care what. Where. I don't want to put any fish over there.
Make sure.
But I'd rather put. I think you'll put fewer fish over there with a diffuse flow than with bulk flows like that. That's basically what it is: bulk versus diffuse. It's the old bulk versus flat argument.
An FPP change.
Right. All right. So, Gary, we're going to schedule a conference call so we can get everybody to weigh in on that.
You're bulk, right?
Next week.
I'm bulk.
Tell you good tomorrow. Next week, can we? Are you guys around for a conference call?
Be in Pennsylvania on TS Turbine.
But we know what you want.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, Tom is the one I'm kind of.
Yeah, just call him.
Is he still on the call or is he gone? Was he on the phone?
Yeah, I think he's gone. I don't think there's anybody left on the phone.
Do you know where he's going?
There's a CSS meeting today.
That's a CSS.
Comparative Pharma Study.
You're supposed to be there.
I know, I was, actually. I said, gee, Tammy, that'd be a good thing for you to attend.
As an assistant.
As my assistant.
Then he'd have to take notes. So he's like, oh, no, you're right.
I'd clone
that's
myself
wrong.
If I could.
I guess I'd say that if you had flows that jumped up in the next few days, hours, minutes, I would choose V2 and then talk to folks. If you get a difference of opinion, call my cell phone. Next week.
It's done.
So be it.
That is the spill pattern. I will talk to the people that need to be talking to. All right, well, let's
keep moving.
Move on.
We have a couple of potential change forms. Are these something you're prepared to talk about? Or
they're only potential so that we don't lose sight of them.
I know, but there's an issue that needs to be brought to the attention of the people here.
Then it should have been put under change forms for discussion.
Task group updates. Sturgeon task group met, and there's some new players that joined, mainly Olaf Langness from WDFW, Tucker Jones, Blaine Parker, Quick Pick. Gary, you were there for part of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you guys really talked about, basically an introduction, meet and greet. I think the big takeaway from the Sturgeon task group is that the region needs to have one voice on what they want to do with sturgeon. And that's floating out there. There's some talk about passing sturgeon, leaving it as is, how we manage them. So at least we have some players from all the agencies now at the table. Ben, if you're on there, you're VBS task group. VBS. What do you say, John? What do you say? Okay. Thank you. Well, let's thank you. Crazy.
John,
AFF mods, Mr.
Are we going to get a program going through
John?
The district? Get a program going on that for that screen cleaning for the VBS cleaning?
John was talking about it. I don't think he's got to sign that by Langsley. The screen cleaning.
You know, I was trying to collect some information myself to see where we stood with that.
I do recall talking to you about that.
Yes, and whether that's an operations thing at this point versus
something that should be incorporated into the FTE program. We're not looking at cap that in FTE right now. In my opinion, the operations have not been, you know, the potential for utilizing all that we can has not been exhausted yet. So yes, we need more detail on what we're currently doing and what our limitations are, and a discussion on where to go from there.
And then has anybody been assigned to that? Is there as far as a PM program setting up something more? Because I don't know that.
It's just going to sit here.
I mean, it's going to be up to the project to tell us whether there's more capacity at the project. If there's not, then this needs to go beyond that. If they need equipment, if you need facilities, something beyond just more manpower, then it's. I mean, I see it as still a part of the overall FG improvement program as results in these issues. So it fits under CRFM follow-on, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know if the course is that.
What's that?
I don't know if you can understand me though, but you just got the tested okay to be able to walk with the load with the tie clamp, which will help us with the cleaning.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I heard that you got the okay to walk with
a
load.
Walk with a load with a tie crane.
Okay.
ESBSs.
The DBSs, that means that they can now move, but the DBSs would
not. That's when they're not exceeding the wind criteria.
As long as the wind criteria, 15 miles per hour, is not exceeded, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, that still doesn't help us a lot. Because of the reliability side of it, it's a little bit iffy. If the wind blows for, you got plugged VBSs and the wind blows for a week, as it often does, then where are we? You know, we got disaster. So it just isn't a solution. It helps, but I don't see it as the long term at all.
So I'm still a little confused. Does that mean they pull them and hang them over the fort?
That's when you daisy chain with the backer screen.
Oh,
it goes a lot. It'll go a lot faster with that capability, but. That helps.
It helps, but it still
doesn't get you out of the woods if there's a wind blowing and 50 mile an hour in a gorge is calm.
Yeah, that's miles.
It's a calm day.
I think we need to close the ops out there at Bonneville and make sure we've done everything and then try to
squeeze that one.
Get it in the FG program.
I think that's where it belongs. I think that whole issue is a result of putting double the flow up the slots that we used to. I mean,
that's
double the flow, double the debris, and double the headache.
And then, if you put these new things in, how does that impact this?
With the slot fillers? Yeah, I don't know. Because it's going to change how the VBSs load up, I would think. We don't know.
I don't think it's going to change how much flow goes into the slot. Just a guess.
What's that?
I don't think it's going to change how much
debris goes up.
Goes up, but it's going to change the way in which it loads up.
Yeah, I think it would just may change the load, how it loads up. Yep.
I don't feel very confident about that reducing the maintenance need for cleaning.
Right.
Well, it's up to you guys. I mean, whoever exhausts one thing and then moves to the next. I just don't want to miss the boat.
Well, I guess my question will be if we can get it into the FG program. I know that Dennis is.
Yeah, I talked with Langsley. I would talk with Langsley about it.
I've tried to collect information on it, but I just have not had a chance to put it together. And now with the results of the tie crane test, it changes things.
A little bit.
But it does need to be lined out, what we're doing and what we can and can't do.
Yeah. And how reliable it is.
Well, let's move on to the next one, which is the FF mods short-term projects that should be getting completed here.
Those have been completed.
They are completed.
The near-term projects, I'm working on the scope of work for that, and it's going to be CRFM funded. We need a project manager and a technical lead for that group. And once we get that, start putting together plans for trying to get that fixed up this winter.
So you have the funds in this FY to move out on that in the CRFM program?
I've been told that, yeah.
Okay.
On the list.
Well, there's a step in the right direction. Okay,
nice.
Great. Any other things we need to discuss before the tour?
You know, we have SMP people here. I guess I wouldn't mind. I see Sean's over there. You know, I the latest numbers I had on fish at Lower Granite was that as Wednesday you had about 250,000, but I was wondering, fair amount of yearling Chinook in there. Is that kind of unusual for this early in the year?
You have a better number. I've had the last couple of days off, so.
Okay.
250,000, that sounds good.
Okay.
We had a fair number of yearling Chinook. Lions Ferry yearling calls also were made up of a pretty good portion of that.
That was my question, actually, whether we were seeing a lot of falls, because it seems like early in the year we generally see steelhead and overwintered fall Chinook come through that first week or two that we open up the facility. So when I saw all these yearling Chinook and we had a separate column for subs, I was a little confused. But I think you're helping with that. So that's
Separate column for subs. That would be for just a little fry.
Yep. Yep.
We weren't seeing many of those, but we were seeing, the yearling falls didn't make up that great a percentage of it. It might be a quarter, a third of what we're actually getting for yearling Chinook. It wasn't the size I would have thought.
So, okay. That was actually the reason I asked you, just for an update, so thanks.
Yeah.
So then where's Vern? I think we were going to just let Ryan
Yeah, we're going to use the rest.
Okay, we're going to just do a little. Did Ryan go to the restroom too?
No.
Oh. It's like a Bill Cosby joke.
I don't see him.
All right. So let's do a prep of what we're going to see on our tour. So let's go on hold, Ryan. One more time.
I apologize. We've been discussing Lamprey trapping at the south downstream entrance of Powerhouse 2 in Mondo. Currently, we have a Lamprey trap that's located between the corner collector and the ice trap sluiceway, the old ice trap sluiceway, and it's not productive. We moved that trap adjacent to the flow of the south downstream entrance. Okay, so here's the flow coming out of the entrance along the old ice and trap sluiceway. Corner collector. Trap is currently located here and fishes in this area between the corner collector and this monolith. Flow coming out of the ladder here. We'd like to move it to this location, so it's fishing adjacent to the flow. Work would consist of moving 8 anchor bolts from this location and, you know, rock anchoring. NOAA could potentially do it at night. They're looking at the April 17th or 18th or the week of May 14th.
May what?
May 14th. The week of May 14th, yeah. Or April 17th.
Right? Absolutely have to be at night.
No, this is for moving, yeah, the anchor bolts to hold the trap davit in place.
And then we just probably better.
Yeah, May is just crazy.
But they did indicate they could do it at night. Under
yeah, do it at night. Early as you can. The dark of night. April?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thoughts about trapping at that location? You know, we have yet to get a plan from them, but, you know, it would be gloved hands and, you know, probably picking once in the morning, maybe midday, once in the evening. But the idea is to get closer to the flow where the lamprey may be staging. And we have very poor success at that entrance.
So like fish down by the entrance of the ladder every morning, so.
Mm-hmm. A lot of activity right there.
A lot of activity.
Oh, man.
Where's this?
It's right at the downstream
entrance powerhouse, too.
Oh. So there, how far around the corner are they from the flow there? I mean, is that, that's fairly wide wall there.
This
that's
flow.
That's probably.
It's coming out the entrance like this.
Right. No, I know. That wall or that, where they're talking about doing it, that's where one of the gates are.
The gate is.
Or the gates there. Okay. Yeah. But I mean the machinery for it.
Yeah. It's a hand crank.
Right.
We deployed, you know, various locations, and we get 13-foot openings right there.
Right. I'm just trying to think of how wide that wall is, how thick that area is right there. How far away from the edge of the entrance can they be?
Is that about 15?
Is that, I know it's pretty wide right there, so they don't have to be right on the flow coming out of the entrance.
Out of the flow in terms of?
Yeah.
He's saying to put on the left corner.
If you follow the flow out of the entrance to that corner where you're at, that's that area. Now, to your left, going left, that area is wide. That's a wide monolith right there. How wide is that? It's about 6 feet or so?
6 feet.
It's probably...
It's not too wide.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how close they're going to be to the flow that's coming out of the entrance, and those or salmon are going to be keying on that and moving along there, so... The more intrusive they are to that flow, the bigger the problem can be.
Yes.
So keeping it away from that.
Every staging in this area,
right?
You know, having trouble with this flow to get them out of this area. How often would they be in that trap, checking the trap?
Daily.
That I have not received an operations plan yet, so I don't know. I'm just making the assumption that we would want to do it at least in the morning and the evening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something written up will be provided in a later date.
Yeah.
I just want to run this.
Well, I understand the reason why. It's just that it is a sensitive spot. We've talked about it before. It's probably okay, but I wouldn't want them to be in the flow of the, you know, anywhere near that, the corner there.
They would not be able to operate in this flow at all.
Right, or even to the...
Work there. This.
All right, now I understand.
Right next
to I'm just concerned about is activity, sense, everything that goes on. I mean, you got people handling the stuff, and whether they use their gloves every time or not, I don't know. I'm not checking. I don't know if you're checking, you know, on that. So it's a matter of having people doing stuff right there where you have one of our main entrances. That's a little bit of a concern, but if they're back away from that flow, that's the attraction flow that's coming out of that entrance, away from that far enough, I think is probably that would be better. So, you know, instead of attaching it on the right hand corner of that wall, if they're on the left hand side of it, the south side. Yeah.
Hey Gary, would you oppose to the middle pier?
What?
You'd be opposed to in between that two at the end of the pier?
You mean on the other side of the old sluiceway or
go to your right. And then a little more. Now there. Up. Right here? Favoring this end of the pier?
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Just said.
I'm trying to say that, yeah.
Around the corner.
I need a...
Yeah.
Where's my laser pointer at here?
They can do that, yeah.
As far away from that entrance flow as they can get. It's still beyond that. Because they're still... If lamprey are coming up there and moving along that wall, they're going to be in the right area. I mean, I'm assuming they're using something, sort of a bait, or is this just a hole?
There's the same...
Is there a pheromone in there or something that acts? Is there any pheromone that they're using, or what do they use to get fish in those traps? So it's just a hole, just a trap. They just hope they find their way in.
I have not heard of any other ideas. So we would do that for now.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean,
to make sure that fish don't get over.
Another location where, you know, we've got very poor entrance efficiency here. And if you can trap successfully in the tail race, collect fish for tribal research, whatever it may be, trap and haul, you know, potentially you may avoid in the future utilizing a system like Cascade Island that's already getting fish to the forebay.
Can you evaluate the impacts on the adults?
Could I? That would be, yeah, I'd have to talk to Sean about that. I don't know. I mean, pulling that trap up and down through the water column, and it, working in this area for the trap coming in and out of the water is probably 30 seconds to a minute. Working in the area.
Well, they can also move it at a certain time of the day.
Yeah, that's certain times of the day.
So why don't we get something written up and out to everybody? So they know what you're talking about, though. It's there and see what their plan is.
Keep it on that side of the wall. There's my laser. Right there.
Okay.
Right there.
So flow here and trap over here.
Yeah, as far away from that flow as you can get and still be in the area that they're trying to get to. They're just trying to get closer, and next request is going to be around the corner, but just a foot.
It won't work.
Just a foot inside.
It won't work.
Anymore. It'll be a new design.
So.
And then pretty soon it'll be up in one of the weirs.
I haven't been out there enough to watch sea lions, but what is the behavior of, I've seen, you know, clearly like at Pier 39 or something in San Francisco, people get pretty close to sea lions, but what would the deterrent effect of having?
Those sea lions?
It might deter sea lions or the sea lions will come up to this trap and find spaghetti. I mean, this is perfect. Just a big long straw right in the middle of that trap. Suck it right out.
Deter them from human activity
out
there.
That's not close enough. We're using hazing firecrackers.
If you shot a few of them in the process, that might do it.
Sea lions will not hang out here with our hazing efforts.
No.
Okay.
They see people up there, they'll just move a little to the right.
Yeah, that's what I sort of expect, but you never know if they'd start to learn.
Yes.
All right, is there anything else before we go out on our tour and get her up? Okay. Well, before you take off, are you taking off?
Going on tour. Okay, a couple of announcements. Ryan.
Safety briefing.
Secondary bypass.
I've already been out.
We'll work our way down through the park and into the facility gate, and then down to the secondary ties into the primary. We'll look at that, and then we'll work up the walkway.
Yeah.
And we can look at where the adult line comes into the primary during secondary operations, and then we'll click it over into primary. We got issues when we do that currently, the way we were set up. Process of fixing that, so a lot of you guys look at that too, and we'll walk back down the walkway if you have a junction in primary, and if you have an opportunity or chance, walk out over the Wolf River and look at it.
Yeah, I don't have enough life jackets for everybody, so we'll have to share them around. Everybody will have to have hard hats when you're going over by the JFF. Last time I looked, we didn't have the life rings out on the thing across the river, so I'm a little reluctant to send people out there, but I guess if you have life jackets, you'll probably be okay. But don't go out there, definitely don't go out there without a life jacket.
Yeah, the ring probably won't work very well because the velocity is so high.
Yeah, the velocity is high. I'm not worried about pelicans because it's so swift out there. I don't think a pelican has a chance.
So how many hard hats? How many people don't have hard hats?
How many people need hard hats?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I need 1, 2, so 6.
We can get some out of the...
Get them out of the...
We meet at 1 o'clock somewhere.
So let's... Are we going to go later? I got the FTP. What's that? I need a tour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
to drive them around.
I think afterwards people have to carry them around. Okay, so let's meet over at the fence where we're going to go in, and those that don't have hard hats, wait till we bring you a hard hat in like 15 minutes. You go around the building, you walk around the building that has the JFF, and then you're going to hit a security gate. Yep, go out through the security gate to the parking lot, and then head along the building.
Yeah, there you go.
And I'll get the hard hat. We can leave everything here.
Yeah.
Because
we are.
Are you?
Yeah.
I thought it was going on the outside. Yeah, I noticed you're right.
I don't have to.
I can take mine off as long as you want.
I'll come back.
All right.
Does it state in there that you have personnel
separated 24 hours a day? Yeah, you can only leave for 15 minutes.